Reform seems to be the watchword of the week. Reform of federal spending, reform of acquisition. Could we see some real action in the next year? Larry Allen, the president of Allen Federal Business Partners, thinks so. He joins me now with more. And Larry, you're thinking that there could actually be a breakthrough in spending increases. How do you see that one happening in 2017?
Tom, simply put, there's been so much pent-up demand, so much pushing the demand curve out to the right that I think it's inevitable that we have to now catch up with doing some serious infrastructure spending. I'm not predicting that we're going to blow spending caps off. This Congress is not going to allow that, and it's unlikely, given anything short of a total shift in the election, that the next Congress would allow huge amounts of spending. But I do think we're going to start to see some targeted investments in some very specific places because there just has not been any investment in infrastructure lately. And you've been getting, Congress has been under pressure from all kinds of sources, whether it's the Senate, which is talking about the need to increase funding for the Zika virus, TSA funding to shorten the lines at the airports, of course, increased defense spending, the administration proposing $3 billion for new IT upgrades. There's a lot out there, and when you see so much out there, Tom, I think it will be difficult for Congress to ignore it all.
There is that dynamic that if the Republicans want to increase defense spending, the Democrats respond by saying, okay, we'll do it, but you got to give us an equal amount on the civilian side.
And this is kind of what intrigued me particularly about a recent proposal floated by Senate Democrats, Tom, because while they're talking about domestic spending, they're talking about front burner hot button issues like Zika, like TSA. And TSA, domestic spending, but it gets to security. It also gets to inconvenience of the taxpayer. So these would be important domestic priorities that Republicans would find difficult to ignore.
You're also writing this week about the idea of acquisition reform. There was a panel at the Acquire show last week where they had some pretty heavy hitters. Navy Deputy Assistant Secretary for Acquisition Elliot Branch, well known in these areas, and he was saying that we have too many rules and too much complexity that gets the wrong answer for what people are trying to do, and that seemed to be kind of a beacon sort of statement.
Well, I thought Elliot Branch's comments, Tom, were spot on to begin with, but I also thought they were interesting because they led off a panel discussion of other top-level acquisition officials in the federal government, all of whom agreed that the current government acquisition system has too many rules, too many stumbling blocks to competition, kind of sounding like an industry panel would sound, really. So there seems to be broad agreement that the current acquisition system does not work as best it could, and that there needs to be some, dare I say, common sense applied to acquisition rules. I think what we've seen here, Tom, over the last decade or so is the pendulum shift back towards an acquisition system that is not built on trust, that is built on rigid rules trying to prevent worst-case scenarios. And while we want the government to do the best it can to weed out fraud, waste, and abuse, if we set the bar too high, then we have trouble doing the daily business that government needs to get done. And I think that's really what the panel's comments were reflective of. We reached that point where the common day-in, day-out, nonpartisan business of government is much more difficult than it needs to be, and acquisition rules are a key part of that.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And pursuant to that whole idea of what you have to do in procurement is that Supreme Court decision that went in favor of Kingdomware, veteran-owned disabled small business. What do you think the ramifications of that case will be, where VA had to follow a rule that was put in place a number of years ago regarding if there are two companies that can fulfill a requirement that are both veteran-owned, they've got to get, one of them has to get the contract.
Tom, first thing is, it's not every Supreme Court session that we get government contract-related decisions. This term, so far, we've had two. The one that I've been keying in on, as you suggest, is the Kingdomware decision, where the Supreme Court just last week ruled that the Department of Veterans Affairs does have to follow a law passed. It was an Iraq, Afghanistan era law that Congress passed that mandated that the Department of Veterans Affairs give preference to veteran-owned small businesses when there were two or more companies capable of meeting the need. It's what's commonly referred to as the rule of two, Tom, in government contracting that requires set-asides when you have two or more small businesses that can meet the need. The instant ramification of the Kingdomware decision is that the VA now has to use the rule of two and apply it to VA's federal supply schedule contracts. The VA had said, look, when Congress passed the Veterans Use Rule, it did nothing to change how VA federal supply schedule contracts are treated. They're still a preferred source of supply. And so we're going to keep on doing what we've been doing, not setting things aside. We could, but we don't think we have to. The court last week said no. Even when you're using a VA federal supply schedule contract, if you have two or more small businesses capable of meeting the need, you have to set it aside, VA, for those veteran-owned small businesses. That's the immediate implication. The broader implication, Tom, is that this ruling takes us one step closer to potentially having small business set-asides on all government indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, IDIQs. We had a GAO ruling several years ago in the Delex case that suggested that the rule of two be followed for all IDIQ contracts, and GSA and DOD and other agencies went out of their way to disagree with the GAO's ruling. But that ruling, coupled with what the Supreme Court said in Kingdomware, I think is going to embolden more small businesses to require a revisitation of the rule of two issue, with possibly tremendous ramifications for how the federal government uses IDIQ contracts, and also for companies that have substantial IDIQ portfolios. This is a development that contractors of all sizes need to watch closely, Tom, because it could affect how they do business and the investments they've made in certain contract vehicles.
We'll have to wait and see. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Thanks so much for that look-see and analysis.
Tom, as always, thank you, and I wish your listeners happy selling.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.